involved in a study, a survey of the Bible. And over that time, we've been studying books of history, books of prophecy. We've read a number of stories of characters or people in the Bible. And one of the things that we've been tasked with throughout these studies is to try and make practical application or find practical lessons that we can use to make ourselves better Christians, to apply those things to our lives. Sometimes it's easy to see the big picture when you're going through a study, but sometimes it's not so easy to find the little things you might be able to pick up, the little things you might be able to learn, whether it be from a letter that was written to one of the churches in the New Testament, whether it be, you know, one of the accounts of an activity or a story that occurred during the Old Testament, whether it be a parable, as we've been going through on Sunday evenings through the series of lessons that Donnie has been bringing to us. Sometimes it might seem that we find these practical applications from what we would consider a major character or a person of, you know, high esteem in the Bible. But sometimes we find those practical applications, those practical lessons, from maybe what some would consider an insignificant mention. The two criminals on the cross. We don't know their names. We don't know, you know, anything. All we know is that they were crucified alongside Christ. One of those other characters or people that I want to look and see if we can make practical application and learn some lessons from this morning is Barabbas. He's mentioned four times in the Bible by name that we know of. We don't know what happened to him after he was released from the cross or released from prison. We really don't know a whole lot about what his life was like prior to. In preparing for this lesson, a lot of what I would, in researching and doing studies, a lot of the studies that people were, I was looking up and researching things, tried to delve into the intellectual, you know, aspect of Barabbas, his son being, meaning son of the father, and how ironic it was that his name meant son of the father, and Jesus was the son of our father, which led to many people saying that, well, Barabbas was really not a real person. This is just something that the Christian writers put in there to make a point. You know, it's a teaching lesson. This wasn't really a real person. This didn't really happen. We know that everything that God has put in the Bible, everything in the Bible is brought to us by inspiration. What may seem insignificant to us is significant. Otherwise, God wouldn't have wanted it in the Bible. And so I want to look and see, what can we learn from Barabbas? The three main accounts, Barabbas is actually mentioned in all four of the Gospels. In John, it's a very short mention, about two verses, and we'll look at that. But the three main accounts are in Matthew 27, Mark 15, and Luke 23. I'm not going to read all three accounts, but I will be referencing various passages from all three accounts during my lesson. And I will tell you ahead of time, I've got a very bad cough. I've got a pocket full of Lifesavers, so I may be reaching in to grab them throughout the course of my lesson. And I've got a bottle of water down here, so if I have to stop, pause, and take a drink, please bear with me. I will be reading, before going on, I want to go ahead and read the account from Mark 15, verses 6 through 15. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The passages that you'll see on my slideshow are actually from the New King James Version, but the Bible I'll be reading from is the English Standard Version. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So what can we determine about Barabbas? First, we can determine that Barabbas was a notorious prisoner. For this, we're going to actually look at the account in Matthew, the 27th chapter, in verse 16. And it says there, "And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas." We today are aware of what a notorious prisoner are. We have some in our own society over the course of the years. Some of us are probably going to be able to look at these pictures and know who exactly we're talking about. We can look at these pictures, many of us, and know that we've got Ted Bundy in the upper left, Timothy McVeigh, Charles Manson. These are people in our history and in our time that we can often identify as notorious just by looking at the photo. We don't even have to know their name. We know by looking at the photo who they are. Barabbas was a notorious prisoner. He was known by the Jews. He was known by the people of who he was. So when Pilate presented Barabbas as an option to be released rather than Jesus, the people knew who he was. It wasn't like he was just bringing up some stranger, some insignificant person out of prison and saying, "I can release this guy or I can release Jesus." They knew who he was. He was a notorious prisoner in their time. Also in Mark 15, where we were at, in verse 7, it says, "And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas." So he was a rebel. He was a murderer. We also see in Luke 23 in verse 19, it says there, "A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." So Barabbas was involved in some sort of a rebellion, some sort of, insurrection that occurred in the city. During this time, we know that there were a lot of people who rebelled against Roman rule. And, based on what we know here, whether it was against Roman rule or some other rebellion, Barabbas must have been one of these rebels who was involved in some sort of an insurrection that occurred in the city. We find where Pilate oftentimes bragged about the fact that he was able to put down these insurrections, these rebellions, and that he welcomed that opportunity. So Barabbas was a rebel and a murderer. Again, we have examples in our own history. We might not be as familiar with this photo. Some of us might not, but this was actually one of my favorite characters to study as a boy. Just mainly because I like to yell Geronimo anytime I jumped off of out of a tree or anything else. It was just something I enjoyed saying. So, yes, this is Geronimo, a famous Indian rebel that was able, many times, was involved in our own American history in fighting against the injustices that were brought upon the Indian people by the government. So again, we have examples in our own society of rebellions and revolutionary type things. We also see, and here's a reference in John, the 18th chapter, verses 39 and 40. It says, "But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Other translations call him a thief. Josephus often used the term thief or robber in reference to rebels as well, because many rebels or people who were involved in rebellions, the way they funded their rebellions was through thievery and robbery. I mean, so, a lot of things at the time, rebels, if you were a rebel, it typically involved thievery, robbery, murder. because you were involved in these kinds of things, in these insurrections. We also in our history have some famous robbers. On the right, we have Jesse James. On the left, we have Bernie Madoff. Different kind of a robber, a different kind of a thief. He didn't rob people at gunpoint, but he was still a thief in the same right in our day and time. And caused a lot of damage to a lot of people through his financial schemes and his Ponzi schemes that caused a lot of damage to people in our own society. So again, these descriptions of Barabbas are not kind descriptions. Barabbas wasn't a role model to be looked up to. He wasn't someone who didn't deserve what was coming to him. He was in prison for a reason. He was presented as an option to let go. Someone who was known as a rebel, someone who was known as a murderer, someone who was known and notorious as a thief or a robber. And then he was presented as an option to be released ahead of Christ. And the people chose Barabbas. Many have speculated they chose Barabbas because he was a rebel. Well, he was a rebel and he was against the Roman government, so the Jews were aware of him, so of course they wanted him released because, you know, he wasn't that bad. He was fighting a rebellion against the Roman government. That's speculation. It may be, it may not, but we know from what the Bible says that the reason he was chosen ahead of Christ was not because that's what the people wanted, but because that's what the chief priests wanted. And they incited the people to yell for Barabbas. So what can we determine from these things? Barabbas was in prison for a reason. And you've got to understand that in our society, we have levels of crimes as far as what we determine is what's punishable by death and what's not punishable by death. In Roman society and back in these times, there was a lot less distinction between what was punishable by death and not punishable by death. Murder, insurrection, robbery, a lot of them, under Roman law, they were all punishable by death. So Barabbas deserved to die based on the laws of the day. Barabbas was set free only by mercy, not by justice. Barabbas wasn't set free because he was found not guilty of the crimes that he was in prison for. He was set free only by mercy because the people asked for him to be set free. Regardless of the reason why they asked for him to be set free, he was set free because the people asked for him to set free and because of the mercy that Pilate granted him because of that request to the people, whether right or wrong. Barabbas lived only because of Jesus' death. If Jesus hadn't been put before as an option to have him to be crucified, then Barabbas wouldn't have been set free and he would have faced his sentence of death. So Barabbas deserved to die. He was set free only by mercy and not by justice. And he lived only by Jesus' death. So that's what we know about Barabbas. So now what practical applications can we make from these things which I brought before you at this point in time? We deserve to die. Turn with me over to Romans, the 3rd chapter. This is a lengthy reading, so I'm going to take a drink of water before I start it. Beginning in verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, no, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The law has brought us this knowledge of sin. And what do we know about sin? Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The law has brought forth this knowledge of sin. This knowledge of sin, we know, brings forth death. Death is the sin causes this separation from God, the spiritual death. In order for us to have this eternal life, we need to accept Christ. So therefore, because of this, we deserve to die. If we didn't have Christ, we would all be subject to that death, that spiritual death, because it's through him that we have a hope of life. So just like Barabbas deserved to die for his crimes against the Roman government, we deserve to die because of our sins. We are set free only by mercy and not by justice. We have no way of justifying our life here on this earth and saying that we deserve a home in heaven through, you know, a just reward. We only have that. We are only set free by mercy. Turn with me to Titus, the third chapter. Excuse me. Beginning in verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, Savior, of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So we see there it was because of his mercy. If we look over in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We also see some examples in the Psalms, and we started studying the Psalms this morning. But we see that even in the Psalms, even the Old Testament, people in the Old Testament were aware of the mercy of God. Psalms 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. So even here, David was asking for God's mercy to blot out his transgressions. We also see in 41, chapter, or Psalm 41, not chapter, sorry. Psalm 41 and verse 4. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious, the English Standard Version says, the New King James Version says, be merciful to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. And then also we see in Psalm 33 and verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. So again, we see here, just as Barabbas deserved to die and was set free by mercy, not by justice, because of our sins and the sinful nature of man, we deserve to die. But through the mercy of God and through the mercy of Christ, we are set free, not by justice. Also, just as Barabbas, we live only by Jesus' death. If Jesus hadn't given his life as the perfect sacrifice, we would not have the opportunity to live and the opportunity for the salvation which is before us, or can be before us. Over in Acts, the third chapter, in verses 13 through 15, pardon me. It says, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer, Barabbas, the murderer, to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." Also, we see again in Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 5. "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. If it wasn't for the redemption of Christ's blood, we would not have this opportunity to live. We would not have this forgiveness of our trespasses, those sins which make us deserve death. And also in Romans, the third chapter, verses 23 through 26. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and a justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." And finally, on this point, in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." We can't be saved by justice. Christ was the just who suffered once for the sins of the unjust, us. And so therefore, we live only by Jesus' death, just as Barabbas lived only through Jesus' physical death. We live by that same sacrifice, because Jesus shed his blood for our sins, so that we might have a spiritual home in heaven. So we see these parallels between Barabbas and us. These are some practical applications we can make in our life. Pilate ordered Barabbas' release. We see this in Matthew 27, verse 26, Mark 15, verse 15, Luke 23, 25. Pilate was the one who ultimately ordered his release. Whether it was to make the people happy, whatever his reasons, we don't know. We know that he washed his hands of the whole incident. And even in the account of Matthew, the people said, "Let his blood be upon us." But to make another point, another parallel, another practical lesson, what would you think if Barabbas refused to go? You've got Barabbas. You know, we don't know what Barabbas' knowledge was of Christ. We don't know whether he had any knowledge of the movement of the people and Christ's teachings or anything. We know that Barabbas was a notorious rebel, a murderer, a robber. And here he is, he's brought out before the people, and the people ask for him to be let go. What would we think if Barabbas had said, nah, I don't want to go. I mean, here he is, he's facing a death sentence, and he's been granted the opportunity to leave. So we can't blame Barabbas for going. And we don't know what happened to Barabbas after. Many have speculated he was later killed in another insurrection. No one knows that for sure. There is no historical account of Barabbas that anyone can actually point to know what happened afterward. By that same token, our prison door is wide open. If we're living a life of sin, we're in prison to that sin, and we're facing a death sentence. The gospel provides the key to the release from our chains, and to you from your chains. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21 says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." We have an opportunity because Christ gave his life and shed his blood for us to open those prison doors. Or actually, all we have to do is walk out those prison doors. Christ has already opened the prison doors. The gospel is presented. He shed his blood so that we might have salvation. We don't have to walk into a prison. We need to take the opportunity to walk out of those prison doors. We have that opportunity today. So if you're someone who has been living a life of sin and have not put Christ on in baptism, someone who is still standing inside those prison walls and not walking through that gate, not walking through those doors to come forth to Christ and take on the opportunity that we have to have salvation, we would hope that you might make that decision today. If you're someone who walked out those prison doors, but maybe have fallen back and gone back into those prison walls, we would like for you to take that opportunity today as well to come forward and make those sins known and ask for the forgiveness that is granted to us by the shedding of Christ's blood. If you have anything to be made known to us, we ask that you do so while we stand and sing.